But the lesson was Jesus was an example of service, a humble service to people, and through his miracles he served the people of the nation of Israel. And as I was studying for that, I came across a verse. And the verse, and I can't find it now, but the Jesus actually asks this person that's asking for a miracle. Jesus turns to this person and says, "What do you want?" It wasn't, and it struck me as funny, it wasn't, "What do you need?" It was, "What do you want?" And this person answered Jesus, and Jesus miraculously healed them and fulfilled their wants. So that was my original subject. As I found out, as I looked into it for about an hour, it was far too narrow of a subject for a full lesson. And then I decided, well, let's talk about miracles. And then I started looking at that, and that's way too big. So I came to a conclusion. I'll just talk about miracles, specifically Christ and, you know, the Gospels themselves and the book of Acts. So tonight we're going to look at miracles. And so we're going to look at what are they? What are they designed to do? Who performed them in the Bible? What were the results? And what can we learn from the examples of miracles recorded for us in the Bible? So let's just jump in. So what is a miracle? A miracle is a divine act by which God reveals himself to people. A miracle is a divine act by which God reveals himself to people. One of the commentaries says, the classic definition of miracle assumes that it is contrary to natural law. But this is a misnomer for two reasons. First, many of the miracles of the Bible use nature rather than bypassed it. Secondly, there is no longer a concept of absolute natural laws. Rather, phenomenon that is not readily explainable may reflect laws that scientists have not yet fully understood. In Scripture, the element of faith is crucial. A natural approach cannot prove or disprove the presence of a miracle. The timing and content of the process can be miraculous, even though the event may seem natural. The revelatory significance is also important. In every case, God performed the miracle not merely as a wonder to inspire awe, but as a sign to draw people to himself. So the Greek word that is translated miracle in Bibles is dunamos. And it's translated in the Bible miraculous power, might, strength, ability, meaning, mightily, might, miracle, and miracles. Miraculous powers and power. This is the Greek word, the base Greek word for many words that we know that indicate power. One being dynasty. Another one that comes in my mind is dynamite. But this is the Greek word, and it means, it means power or might. Or ability. Now, I just want to make a little sidestep here and talk about the word signs and wonders. The New Testament uses signs as confirmation of a message given. This message comes through the apostles. The vocabulary of miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament is often is used by two words, signs and wonders. One refers to the act of supernatural power, another being beyond man's understanding. As a whole, they are synonymously used for God's provincial acts within history. The sign refers to an act that occurs as a token or pledge of God's control over events and as a revelation of God's presence with his people. In the New Testament, signs and wonders has the same general thrust. Another term that can be used is power or workings. So signs, wonders, and powers and miracles are all kind of the same thing. Okay. So next, what are miracles designed to do? Miracles are designed to authenticate or confirm and cause people to listen to the message. They are not an end to themselves. They are there to confirm the message being taught by the person teaching it. This can be both good and bad. For a prime example, this is, if you're not there already, please listen as I read Matthew 11:4-6. Jesus was asked by John the Baptist if he was the coming Messiah, and Jesus answered this question to John the Baptist was to his disciples. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not offend because of me." So what Jesus is saying here is, do you not see the miracles? They're authenticating the message that are in preaching. In Mark, if you're not there already, Mark 16:19-20. At this point, Jesus has ascended into heaven. I'll pick up in verse 19. "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." So where we have signs or miracles that are confirming the word that the apostles are preaching. Peter, performed a miracle in the temple in Acts 2, and the people were amazed, and as he used this, Acts 2:22 says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." So here he's saying that God confirmed the message that Jesus was preaching through miracles, wonders, and signs. Acts 8:9-11 records how not miracles, wonders, and signs, but magic and sorcery was used to do the very same thing. Acts 8:9-11. "But there was a certain man called Simon, who had previously practiced sorcery in the city and astounded the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time." So Simon's, the magician, or Simon the sorcery's message is, "I'm a great man, and here's why." And he would do some sorcery, he'd do some magic, and the result is people heeded him, and they listened to him because of the sorcery and magic that he thing. Now, the words miracles and signs and wonders are not used here, but the word sorcery is, so I looked that up. Sorcery is a practice whose adherents claim to have supernatural powers and knowledge, the ability to foretell the future and to summon evil spirits through charms and magical spells. Sorcerers have been present since the high courts of Egypt and all the kingdoms. They've been around for a long time. Magic is defined as an attempt to influence or control people or events through supernatural forces. These forces are called upon by means of ceremonies, the recitation of spells, charms, incantations, and other forms of ritual. So we can see that Simon the magician or Simon the sorcerer used these magics and sorceries to confirm his message that I am a great person. And it worked. Unfortunately for Simon, Philip came to Samaria, to the city that Simon was in, and he did miracles, signs, and wonders, and drew a lot of people away from Simon, to the fact that Simon went and asked and wanted to have the same powers. So as we can see, miracles are designed to confirm and to cause people to listen to the message that's being preached. So who used miracles? First name that pops into my head is Jesus. So let's turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 23. At the very beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus used miracles and signs and wonders. As a result, he became famous throughout the region, including Syria, Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Matthew 4:23 states, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." So he preached the kingdom gospel, healed, and cast out demons. That's to confirm the message. The other thing that miracles did specifically for Christ is prove that he was the Messiah by giving him power over and giving him power over demons. Mark chapter 1:21 says, "Then he taught in Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, and he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. And there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? We know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But God rebuked them, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, and they questioned among themselves, 'What is this? What is this new doctrine? With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and then they obey him.' The result is, and immediately his fame spread throughout the region around Galilee. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." So we can see that Jesus had power over demons. Matthew 5, chapter 1, Matthew 5, verse 1 talks about Jesus going to the other side of the sea, and he runs into a demon-possessed man that lived in tombs. And this wasn't just one unclean spirit, it was a whole bunch. So let's pick it up in Mark 5, verse 1. "For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' And he asked them, 'What is your name?' And he answered, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding in near mountains, so the demons begged him that to send us into swine that we may enter them. And Jesus gave them permission. When the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, so there was about 2,000, the herd ran violently down the place into the sea and drowned in the sea." Jesus also had power over sickness and disease. Mark 1:40. "Now a leper came to him imploring, kneeling down to him, saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed." Jesus, in another miracle, healed the paralytic. And this is the story where the paralytic was let down through the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you. I say to you, arise, take your bed up, and go to your house." Immediately arose and took up the bed and went out of the presence of them all, that they were all amazed and glorified God. We have never seen anything like this. Jesus was also proven to be the Messiah because he had power over Satan. Let's pick it up in Mark chapter 3. Verse 10 says, "And he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known." In verse 20, as we jump down to verse 22, And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." So he called them to himself, and he said in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, he is divided, and he cannot stand, but has an end." Christ also, Jesus also had power over nature. Mark 4:35. This is the story when Jesus calmed the waves. Pick it up in verse, the disciples were in a boat and they were crossing the sea in verse 37. "And a great windstorm rose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' The result, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'How can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Mark 6:45-48. Talks about Jesus walking on water. "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him the other side to Bathsheba. And while he sent the multitude away, and then when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And then about the fourth watch at night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them." So we can see that Jesus walked on water. The feeding of the 5,000 is talked about in Mark 6:34-43. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people with it. So we can see that he had power over nature. The next question that popped into my mind is there are times that Jesus refused to do miracles. So please turn in your Bibles to Mark 8. There were times when Jesus was asked to do miracles and he absolutely refused. Mark 8:11-13 says, "Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, 'Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given in this generation.' And he left them, getting into a boat again and departing to the other side." Matthew 12:38-40 talks about scribes and Pharisees coming to Jesus and saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." As I thought about these particular incidents here, I haven't seen it in a long time, but have you guys ever run into anybody that said, "I don't believe in God, and if there is a God, I want a sign from heaven. I want a lightning strike out of the clear blue sky or something like that, and it never happens." And now we know why. They have a heart of unbelief, and God's not just going to perform a miracle, because they're an evil, and they're seeking after a sign, and no sign will be given to them. I often thought, if that actually happened, would that person actually get saved? So we're going to see now that disciples were given power to cast out demons, heal all kinds of sickness and disease, and raise the dead. In Matthew 10:5-11, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.'" So you can see the disciples were given power to cast out demons, heal all kinds of sickness and disease, and raise the dead as they preach the kingdom gospel. Peter healed a lame man in the temple and then preached the gospel of Christ. This is found in Acts 3:1-10. We'll pick it up in verse 3. "And the lame man, who seen Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that this was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what he had happened to him. And when they had set him in the midst, they asked," in Acts 4:7, "'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said, 'Rulers of the peoples and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders and has become the chief cornerstone.'" Another one of the apostles, Philip, in Acts 8:4-8, cast out demons and healed the paralyzed and lame in a Samaritan city. As he preached the gospel of Christ, he was scattered, was kicked out of Jerusalem. So, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. The result, and there was great joy in that city." The Apostle Paul did miracles. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. I find it funny that we're using the word miracles so much in the New Testament that Paul was given the power to do unusual miracles versus just the usual miracles. So Acts 19:11 tells us about this. As Paul preached the gospel, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. The diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. He didn't even have to. If something Paul had touched or worn was brought to a sick person, they were healed, or the demon was cast out. So apparently that's an unusual miracle. Let's drop down to verse 13. And we have ourselves here, for the Apostle Paul is involved with a reverse miracle. But the end result is exactly the same. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known to both all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many of those who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who practiced magic brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So we've seen some positive results of people seeing a miracle. And yet, sadly, we know that there's negative results. One thing I noticed, that all the results or the responses to these miracles all depended on the heart condition of the individuals listening to the message. We see that some believed the message that was being preached because of the miracles. The miracles confirmed the message and they believed them. And the miracles helped their faith. Others, some attributed the miracles to Satan. And because of the miracles Jesus was doing, they planned to get rid of him. We read this earlier. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." And after Christ performed another miracle on the Sabbath, the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Another result is some wanted nothing to do with Jesus. We see this in Mark 5, in the story of 1 through 17, where the demons came out of the paralyzed man and went into the herd of pigs. And what was the result? As the people watching the pigs went into town and told this. Verse 16. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him that who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they, the people that heard this, began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus or the message that he was preaching. And some were offended. Please turn back to Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house." So what can we learn from this study of the subject of miracles? First of all, miracles are amazing. They're signs and wonders. And they're not something to be trifled with. They're not just something you just hand out and, "Oh, you can do miracles, you can do miracles." They're absolutely, they're there to confirm the message that's being preached, but they are powerful. They can heal the sick, cure all sorts of diseases. The miracles that Jesus and the disciples and the apostles performed raised people from the dead. But they were there to confirm the message that was being taught. And so what I got out of this is, if we see something amazing, we still need to look past that and see what the message that is being taught behind it. When I was in Phoenix working down there, I got to be lunchtime buddies with a UPS driver. And we'd sit down, and somehow we ended up eating at the same restaurant quite a bit. And he went to a faith healing thing at his church one night. And the very next day, he was super excited, and he was telling me all about this faith healer and how this woman that was wheelchair bound due to some sickness she had because she was so weak, this faith healer came in and she was running laps around the auditorium. And I didn't think to ask at the time, but he never talked about what the preacher was message was. He just talked about the woman running laps around the auditorium. So he was enthralled with what this faith healer had done to this lady, but never heard a word of the message. So if we see something miraculous, or as in this time, a miracle, we need to look at what's the message behind it. Now I know in the future, science, wonders, and miracles will be used by the Antichrist and the false prophet to authenticate their message, which is a wrong message. But we still got to look at what the message is behind it and how that lines up with the known word of God. And by the way, this lady that ran loops around the auditorium, the very next day she was back in her wheelchair. So we can learn from the Bible that miracles, signs, and wonders are a powerful tool used to authenticate and confirm the message being preached by the person preaching it. We're not to look blindly. We're not to be so amazed by the miracle or the sign that we blindly will listen and believe what the person is saying. My hope is, as I study this out, is that this study of miracles, and specifically the miracles that Jesus performed, will have an encouraging and positive effect. We can be encouraged, and our faith can be strengthened in who our Savior is, and what He accomplished, not only on this earth, but what He accomplished, what He is able to do for us. I just had through this study, it was just my Just a little, my understanding of Jesus Christ and who he was just grew a little bit more, and I'm very thankful for that. So that is my cursory study on miracles. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the recorded miracles that you have for us, and specifically in the Gospels, but thank you that the miracles are designed to confirm the message that was being taught. And thank you that these powers and wonders and signs, for the most part, have the right effect. People were amazed, and they glorified God. And now we know there's other people that saw these very same things, and because of hard hearts of disbelief, did not believe in God, and it didn't have any effect on them. But just thank you for the message of the gospel of Christ, and just thank you that this message was authenticated and confirmed by you in the early church, and this message is written down for us in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.